Welcome to Staples.
Hi, Staples guy. I need to get my kids ready for back to school.
Well, Staples has everything they need at low prices, like comp books for just 50 cents, so they'll be 110% ready.
Wait, that's 10% more ready than totally ready.
Yep.
That extra 10% evens it all out.
Sorry?
Well, I'm usually 10 minutes late getting them to school, so.
That doesn't even it out.
Yeah, sure it does.
Make low prices happen. Make 110% ready happen. Staples. Make more happen. Right now, one subject notebooks are just 17 cents each.
Offer valid in-store only while supplies last. Limit 30 per customer ends 9/12/15.
Bring home the bacon, fry it up in a pan, and never let you forget who I am, cause I'm a woman, W-O-M-A-N. I'll say it again, cause I'm a woman, W-O-M-A-N. Welcome to Word of Mom Radio. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to today's Word of Mom Radio. I'm your host, Dori DiCarlo, and you know we are here week after week breaking those myths that, you know, mompreneurs and women who work from home are, you know, doing it in between bake sales and getting their nails done because we're just dabbling in business. We're not. We're smart. We're successful. We're savvy. And we're building those bridges between raising our family and creating amazing businesses. And each one of us has been on such amazingly unique journeys. And I am so excited today to be sharing Beth Ann Hilton, who's the founder of the B Company. And she's a marketing and communication specialist. She's based out in Studio City, California, and for the last 13 years has provided excellence in marketing and public relations for entertainment, lifestyle, fashion, and not-for-profit clients. And the B Company is a unique boutique PR firm that creates those customized PR and marketing campaigns. And they're a conscious company, and they strive to work with partners, artists, and vendors who share their positive vision and values. You know, in this cyber age of cookie-cutter campaigning, Beth and her team pride themselves on working closely with the artists to develop effective campaigns custom tailored to each of their goals, whether it be a new release, increased named awareness, touring, sponsorships, or special events. And her background is just so amazing, from, you know, creating this and coming from Warner Music Group to the articles to everything that she has written and created to promote and brand and market amazing people. And I want her to share her journey, you know, as she is, you know, home with her family and her 10-year-old son getting a volunteer at his school. And it's what it's all about. It's building a business and, you know, being with your son and your family. So congratulations for all that you're doing. And I can't wait to hear your journey. Beth Ann Hilton, welcome to Word of Mom Radio.
Wow. Thank you so much, Dori. I'm so excited to be here. It's a little bit different for me to be in the hot seat, so to speak.
I bet.
Yeah, and very exciting to take a moment with you, and thank you for encouraging me to do that, because I've been taking a moment to look back, and that's something that I think most of the entrepreneurial moms out there will agree we don't really have a lot of time to do. So this has been a great experience just in talking to you about the show and then looking at where I've come from, you know, where I want to be going, and all the wonderful experiences I've had in between. And I have to say, you know, you nailed it. Breaking the myths. I love it. That's perfect. That's what we need to keep doing. And then just showing by example how to do that.
Well, in breaking those myths, I would love for you to share your journey, because you've come at your business from such a different standpoint than a lot of the mompreneurs and the women in business and the mom, you know, when work at home moms and things like that. What you've created, your background really just brought you to where you are in such a different level. So please share the journey that I didn't read. So you can entertain us with it, because it's so fun.
Right. Well, okay. So where does that begin? I think it you know, as a part of who you are, probably in your DNA, you know, as you're born and you start growing up. I think that my mother tells me, anyway, that I was always sort of busy and on the go, you know, from the day I was born, and pretty independent-minded. So I think throughout my childhood, being from a larger family, I was kind of allowed to try a lot of different things and probably, you know, got away with a lot of things, too, that kind of flew under the radar. And I think that's important for children to have that space to figure out who they are. Along that journey, one of the things I remember most, I was probably about 10 years old, which is how old my son is now. I remember the activist and consciousness bug being born in me, because one of the streams near my house was going to be plowed over and turned into a development. And this was a creek where we played every day and caught fish and frogs and set them free again. And it just somehow sparked something in me that said, who has the right to do this? You know, and why should our environment be destroyed? You know, because someone wants to build a bunch of new houses. And I think it was interesting. My brother and I didn't just complain about that. We got on the phone. We called the mayor. You know, we literally got out the phone book and called the mayor. And then, you know, they were sort of tickled and they played along with us. And then I called the newspaper. And we just kind of, you know, had our peace. It didn't stop the development, but we worked through and had the freedom to work through that activism. And I think from that point on, I have always wanted to work, you know, take action for my thoughts. And that became a big part of who I was then through high school, through college, and going out into the business world, you know, always having that thought of, you know, I really want to contribute creatively to the companies and people I work with, but at the same time, I want them to be responsible in some way to the people that work for them and to the people they serve. So that was, I think, the underlying character basis for my journey. And then the rest of it became a path, you know, that was built on. Does that make sense, Dori?
Yes. It absolutely does. And how amazing to know how deep-rooted, you know, this, I love what you said, wanting to take action for your thoughts has been imprinted on you, you know?
Right. Yeah, and so that sort of colored along the way all of the different job choices that I made and whether I was going to stay in a company for a longer time or a short time. You know, when we're young, we don't always have the choice to work at, you know, the perfect place. You know, I did a lot to put myself through college, you know, working in restaurants and this and that. That's hard work. But through that, I still had gotten to the point where I knew I had a choice to make in every job that I took. And so, you know, when I was waiting tables, I had the choice to, you know, greet that person with a, hey, I'm going to do the bare minimum, or greet that person with, hey, we're here together for some reason today. You know, I'm going to get you a great breakfast, and hopefully we're both going to leave here happy, you know? So it you know, it inspires choices, you know, that once you realize that, you know, you can go into any job with a certain positive mindset, it really helps that journey be a more beautiful, peaceful one. And, you know, once I started getting into thinking about where to work after college, you know, that was looking at New York. I went to college in Philadelphia at Temple University, which was a terrific journalism school. And, you know, I thought next was the Big Apple. You know, that was the big prize to make it there, you know. You can make it anywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
So looking for magazine jobs there was the first step. And I thought, you know, you can go for the money jobs, or you can go for the jobs where you can make a better impact. And at that time, we were just about crossing over into electronic publishing. And I was fortunate to find a job at a fashion trade magazine that was just about to transition to that. And that's, you know, why I got the job. And I thought that was going to be an exciting job. I was going to be able to make a bigger impact than just writing articles. And I was going to be able to shepherd that process and learn a lot and, you know, really have something to give that perhaps people that were already at the company didn't have that digital training, you know, would be able to benefit from. So that was an exciting first choice, and that led to a lot of other good things in New York.
You've lived so many places. When you yeah. look back, when I say this as a fellow, I mean, my listeners know that, you know, for the last 3.5 years, I've been on the road. So mm-hmm. my friends, when they call me, the first thing they'll say to me is, hey, so where are you living? And I'm like, why does everybody always ask me that? You know what? I'm living. Isn't that good enough? You know? So with all, where did, from New York, did you wind up in California mm-hmm. from New York, or did you go, you just went East Coast to West?
Yes, I did go from the East Coast to the West. Part of my journey, too, that happened before I even got to New York was a year over in the UK because I wasn't quite ready for college and I wanted to live a little bit and check things out. And that was okay, too. That was just something I felt needed to do and did that and then came back and got on the track. I think that's one of the most important things for women to realize. If they have that calling, you know, taking a year to follow a calling here or there, I have found now in the long run, it only helps to round who you are out. You know, it's not a race to the finish. And if following that call is a really, really important part of, I think, our journeys that we need to appreciate. So I've come back.
I agree 1,000%.
Right, I came back, and yeah, you know, as a fellow gypsy, you know, I came back and went through college and did, you know, New York for a few years. I had to say that the weather was kind of getting to me. It was a hard couple of winters. And I thought, you know, California, I think, is now calling. I've always, since I was a little, you know, child, wanted to go there, and I had the writing bug, too, and I wanted to write meaningful films and that sort of thing. So I saved a bunch of money. I worked an extra job while having this, you know, managing editor job at a magazine. I still worked an extra job on the weekends so I could save money to get to California and not stress about it, you know. So that, you know, bundle of cash helped me get out here and have time to explore various jobs and sign up with temp companies and meet with directors and writers. And I was lucky to get a job with a director, assisting her in writing and her directing endeavors, and learn my way around town. That wasn't necessarily exactly what I had planned on doing, but I was open to it, you know, and I think, again, in times of transition, open your arms wider and accept what comes your way and then say, okay, is this, you know, something new? I never wanted to have a very strict set of steps that I needed to take. I've always found it more helpful to bring a little of the intuition into making that next choice and opening up to bigger possibilities. So within that, basically one of the temp jobs that I had in between some of the films that we worked on was at a company called Rhino Records. And this was a job for the executive VP of legal and business affairs. so very high up in the company, and it gave me a great bird's eye view at all the music business deals and creative and everything. And on top of it was a conscious company, and this was starting to become now a more common word or concept, socially conscious companies. And that was great because I was able to jump in and become, you know, one of the bookers for speakers. We had a social and environmental responsibility team that would book speakers to come into the company during lunchtime or after work and tell us about what they're doing in their organizations to make the world a better place. So that merging of, hey, you can do business and you can do good was a godsend for me to find that. I was so excited. And I ended up staying with them quite a few years. And then the company was acquired by Warner Music Group. And so my boss and I moved over to Warner Music Group. And that's really where the music path came from. I didn't, and that was, I guess, to my point, I didn't go there saying, I want to work in the music business, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it evolved out of, you know, seeing things that were in line with my, I think, values about doing business. And I wanted to stay with them and contribute more and learn more. And so that music path began.
Isn't it amazing how... it was a temp position,
mm-hmm.
which is so fitting.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's just somewhere you happen to wind up going on a temporary basis mm-hmm. that kind of shaped where
exactly.
you are.
Exactly. Exactly. I recommend when someone moves to a new town, and especially Hollywood, and young people coming out of college, there's so much pressure that they have to get this great job right out of school, or they have to go to a great school to get that great job. You know what? When people move out here, I say, take 6 months or a year and temp. You will learn more about all of the studios and the agencies and what have you by doing that. It's a great way to be paid to learn your way around town, and you meet a lot of people along the way.
Well, you know, it's funny. My daughter is 23, and
mm-hmm.
she relocated to the West Coast last year, and she's been
mm-hmm.
working on a farm. She's halfway through her degree in psychology
mm.
and was like, Mommy, what kind of a psychologist am I going to be if I don't follow my own dreams first? And I'm like, rock on, little girl. You know, met the guy of her dreams. They're now backpacking across
awesome.
On their way to the Middle East, Southeast Asia. In December for a few months, backpacking across that on their way to Australia for a year or two.
Oh, I want her life.
She took a bartending course to get certified. She was like, Mom, I can bartend anywhere.
Right.
Make great money. And I used to bartend and wait tables because I did theater professionally. And you know what? She was like me, dressed as like a lady. It infuriates her and insults her to see girls that walk around in their bikinis and stuff. And I'm like, hey, don't judge anybody else. You know,
right.
If this is not the way you want to dress, it wasn't the way I wanted to dress either. Fine. But don't condemn somebody else for doing it.
Right.
And she's
right.
like, you're right, Mommy. You're right. You know, but so and her dad is like, this is all your fault.
Yeah.
You know, if you were her, she could never be doing this. Meanwhile, my daughter is like, Mommy, thank you so much. This is all
yeah.
because you're my mom that I can do something like this. So it's like the two ends of the spectrum and what we model for our children and the people that we come into contact with, you know? So
right.
I'm living that part of my life now because I've been responsible since I was 12. You know,
right.
my kids are all grown and gone now. I've been 17 in my soul my whole life, and now I get to actually live like a 17-year-old. So
right,
fun.
Exactly.
It
yeah.
is. And so with what makes – what's that glamour part? I mean, you know, I am a New Yorker, tried and true. I haven't been out to the West Coast. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
what's the difference in those red carpets?
Oh, the whole Hollywood thing, you mean?
Well, yeah,
you know, the
I've been to New York carpet events, you know,
right.
and premieres and things like that. So I know that. What's the Hollywood glitch-like.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I have to say that it's there's a lot of them. Someone said to me recently, like, what is this step and repeat thing? What is this? Every event has a backdrop and a red carpet, whether it's 3 feet long, 6 feet long, or 200 feet long, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's actually, you know, just become a part of even everyday kind of events. It's funny because it's probably driven a little bit by all the social media access that everyone has, and mm-hmm. it looks really good, you know, in pictures. Even if you have a small event, you have that little step and repeat, and you have your logo in the backdrop. And a lot of businesses have blossomed to make that very affordable for people that probably weren't around in the past. So I would say that, you know, of course, the most exciting events, you know, that happen here are, for me, the Grammys, which I usually end up working every year. And it can be very, very intimidating to people that haven't been there before. And it's also, when we do events here, I'm not sure, it must be the same way in New York because you've got traffic there, but it shuts down, you know, certain parts of the city, basically. You know, downtown is where the Grammys are held around the Staples
right.
Center, and that whole area is basically, you know, impassable. So a huge, huge tent goes up for the red carpet because that's usually in February, and we can't quite depend on the weather at that time of year. You know, it could rain. It has rained in the past when I've been there. This year we're supposed to have a big El Nino, so it's probably going to hit us. You know, we have to be ready for that because there's just a certain amount of walking. No matter what you do, you know, it's sort of like we become like New Yorkers where you have to walk, and whatever you're wearing or however you're getting there, the limo can't quite get close enough. You still all end up walking. So we have to be prepared for that this year, I think, in a different way, because when people come to the red carpets here, you know, in the events like that, the day is long. It could be a, you know, easily 14 to 18 hour day by the time they get out the door, get there early, do the red carpet. There might be various stages to the shows, and then there's the after, you know, events. And especially my female clients, you know, they want to have the makeup and the hair and the clothes that can stay, you know, all day long.
Mm-hmm.
So that's become a kind of fun challenge to my business, is to have some people on hand to be able to deliver that. So we have wonderful makeup artists and hair people that, you know, I can commission to help these clients out when they come to town. And
mm-hmm.
that's a really enjoyable part of it. But it's a very long red carpet. It's very busy. There's a lot of competition between the media companies too. And you know, one of the best things to be able to do is prepare your clients to have their talking points ready, you know, to keep it short, to have their URLs, you know, if they do get an interview, to really be able to speak to it quickly and point people towards their music. You know, some of the magic in that is also just not everything on the red carpet has to be an interview. You know, get lots of pictures. You know, sometimes a TV personality doesn't have time to interview your client, but even getting a picture with them, you know, is fun and goes a long way on their press kit
mm-hmm.
Later on. So I would say all in all, it's the red carpet's just the beginning of the day. And then specifically with the Grammys, when someone wins, there's a huge backside and back end to all of the media as well.
No
you
doubt.
Know, and that goes, yeah, and that goes on and on. And again, you know, having them prepared and ready to make the most of that when you're really just getting one shot to move through that media cycle is so important.
So with that, you know, and your career path, how has it differed from some of your peers, especially the male friends that you have in the industry? How would say, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think, Dory, that probably goes back to what I was saying before about being open to the paths that are presented to you or that you find or that you create for yourself. And, you know, realizing that maybe we can't look at 20 years down the line and set goals that say, okay, I'm going to become a manager here, then I'm going to become a VP, then I'm going to become this, and then I'm going to work there, and then I'm going to have a golden parachute, and then I'm going to jump off and start my own company. You know, I think some of my male friends have had that benefit just because, you know, this was their main focus, the career. I think for me, it was, you know, bringing the family side into it. I had to, you know, be open to having the faith that it was all going to work out. If I had to, you know, not take on this particular job or this particular client because I just couldn't travel enough to do that job. I didn't want to travel and be away from my son, you know, to do that job, or I didn't want to not be there for this and that. Then I had to be okay with making that choice. And there were a few years, I have to admit, that I felt like, oh, gosh, you know, I have this baby.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I cranked back my, you know, scope of work and scope of services that I offered when I first had him. And I focused very narrowly on PR as opposed to some of the other marketing services that I had offered before. And many fewer clients. And, you know, it's hard when you have a baby and you're more isolated than you're used to being, and you're kind of living your life in those 20-minute increments between when they ate and when they nap and when you can eat, and then, you know, you might get that shower and this and that. it requires a lot of faith. And I wish that I had had someone to say to me, you know what, this isn't the end of the world or the end of your career. It's the start of a wonderful new path with your family.
Absolutely.
But your
and you know what, and the life
going
of faith,
to be there.
The life of a mompreneur, you know, or a woman in business, whatever moniker, you know, I know some women, for me, that's the proudest thing you could ever call me, is a mompreneur.
That's right.
You know, apart from being a mom, because it makes the fact that I was a mom. I think my kids are grown and gone. They are still. I canceled my show last week because my son needed me to do something else. I'm
right.
Like, sorry, I got to reschedule this show. My son's 27 years old. Lifetime job of mom. That's it. The job of mom. So in that job of mom, for you, you know, I didn't read this in your bio, but where you grew up in Pennsylvania. We're very near the Amish, and I love Amish country, and have gotten to, you know, spend time, you know, in the area and stuff like that. Also, is that something from your childhood that you wish your son could experience?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we do try to go back at least once a year.
Cool.
And, you know, there's a place out there near Lancaster, Pennsylvania, called the Green Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a marketplace for Friday nights, and some of the Amish and Mennonite would come, and people from all over the community too, and just kind of mingle and look at things. And it's been there for ages. I don't even know what they sell there now, but I do remember fond memories of just sort of being there with my whole family. It felt like a night out. And seeing people from really different cultures, and we didn't interact a whole lot, but it sparked my interest and my curiosity about other cultures, and then also just being in that area, you know, that I think is what I miss for him, you know, being a child that grows up in the greater Los Angeles area, is that sense of freedom, you know, that sense of vastness and safety that you can just, you know, go and enjoy nature. And the way we did, you know, we explored the mm-hmm. creeks and the woods, and we had motorcycles and go-karts and you name it. You know, we just had that extended playground
right.
in a sense that was our world. And, you know, I don't know if it's something I just don't see in L.A., or I don't know if times have changed so much that that's hard to give your children no matter where you live. I haven't lived out in the country for a long time, but I hope there's still a place that is like that and where, you know, kids can run free a bit more.
Gosh,
that's something I would
have
liked for him.
My daughter. You know, my daughter's in California, up in Sandy. She works on a ranch and, you know, breaking horses and taking care of pigs. You know, because I grew up on a farm when I was younger and would bring my kids upstate and stuff like that. So it's kind of interesting that that's what she loves, is that she's out there doing this on this world journey that she's on. With that being said, we need to take a break to say hi to our sponsors and everything. And there's a caller in the queue, the 805 area code. If you want to talk with us, please hit the number 1. So I know that you actually want to chat with us as opposed to just listen via the phone. So we will be back in a little bit. Let's hear from Victoria Thornton.
Hi, ladies. It's 2015, and it's time to let go of the limiting thoughts and the self-doubt and break through the fear that's holding you back. I'm Victoria Thornton, and I'm the creator of Uncover Your Diamond. In this 7-week program, you'll gain new levels of confidence and really become connected to your inner beauty. You'll let go of the negative inner voice and find clarity about what you want and how to create a fulfilling and balanced life. I can teach you tools and strategies to have the courage to go after your dreams and make them a reality. Life is way too short, and this is your time to shine. So come on over to uncoveryourdiamond.com and get registered now.
And our other sponsor today is Daphne Clark Hudson, and she is a successful entrepreneur, transformational coach, empowerment specialist. She's a speaker and a keynote presenter. She's an author. She's an award-winning TV and radio personality, and she's truly a visionary. And in October, the 25th to the 30th, she is doing an Ignite the New You in Paradise retreat in Jamaica, in Montego, on Montego Bay. And let's face it, it's the homeland of Bob Marley and music and easygoing lifestyle that you can hear those words spoken all the time. No problem, man. And I know it is going to be an amazing retreat to help you unlock those limiting beliefs and live the life you truly deserve and want. And by Daphne and Kathleen Storing. So go to ignitethenewyouinparadiseretreat.com, or you can find her and all of our sponsors on the wordofmomradio.com website. And keep your eye out, because we have some really things that are going to be coming along in the next couple of months on that website, maybe even in the next couple of weeks. You never know. And we are back here live with Beth Ann Hilton from the Bee Company, founder of the Bee Company. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about it, but our caller does want to chat with you. So I am bringing you in from the 805 area code. Hi, this is Dory. You're here with me and Beth. Who's this, please?
My name is Catherine Balderas.
Hi, Catherine.
Hey. Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Catherine was one of the moms who I was very close with when I lived closer to where she is now, out in Simi Valley. And just a wonderful lady and a very supportive mom, but I think maybe also a mompreneur.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Hey, Catherine, tell us a little about it.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was listening to Beth's story and the things she was talking about, I remember from back then, because I remember her, you know, having young Wesley, just like I had little Matthew at the time, and now big 10-year-old boys. But, you know, doing the balancing back and forth, you know, with the momming and the parenting and the business and such. And I, too, I had come from an entertainment business background. And then when I became a mom, I had left that and was not working at the time. But then this year, I had my second child, she just started kindergarten. And I, for the past couple of years leading up to knowing that she would be going to school full time, I was feeling like I wanted to do something in addition to, you know, parenting full time. And but I wanted something that I could do on my own terms. Like, to describe the perfect opportunity to me felt like it was impossible. You know, I wanted to work when I wanted. I didn't want to have to leave the house. I didn't want to have to be here when I didn't want to be. I didn't want to have to be anywhere at a certain time. I didn't, you know, it was like, that's not going to happen, you know. And then just kind of was leaving myself open to possibilities. And within the past year or so, I found something that really fits the bill for me perfectly. And and I love it because it lets me do things on my own terms. And it's an exciting company. And what it is, it's an online business. And the products are cosmetic products, but they're kind of very, very new, very modern, very, very cutting edge products. And the quality is great, and the price point's great. And I can market this using social media through online platforms, which I always thought was attractive to me, mostly the online part of it, because. Although I didn't, it's kind of, you know, you're creating an intimate sales environment, kind of like what you would do in someone's home, except you don't have to actually be in their home. You create a little environment.
I have to say, our sponsors today are actually women who've created their own business. Many of our Word of Mom sponsors all are in direct marketing and with different companies. And it's one of the things we're doing with our website to our sponsors is creating, you know, a job opportunity section for sponsors.
Right.
And so, because, you know what, everybody has to find their niche. There are so many wonderful companies out there. If you're into food, if you're into, you know, one of our newest sponsors going to be coming on is wine, you know, where you can shop from it at home and stuff like this. So, you know, but whether it's nutrition, cosmetics, you know, home decor, even within that industry, you are going to have people who like this brand or that brand. That's why there's many brands, you know, because no one can service everyone. But I love that you found one for you, Catherine, that is your little niche where you can really be excited, because that's the life of a mompreneur. If you're not excited about what you're doing, don't get a job. If you don't love your business like it's your own child, go get a job.
I know. I totally agree. And it's funny because I would have thought myself, you know, if you would have told me, you know, 2 years ago or, you know, prior to this, like, oh, you'll be, you know, doing cosmetic sales, it would have been, I don't think so, you know, because I never thought of myself as a makeup person. I mean, I wore it and I did it and I liked it, but I would never have looked fabulous. Thank you.
You know, because let's face it, people, it's like, oh, what are you going to be selling, Mary Kay? It's like, you know, you say that tongue-in-cheek. Mary Kay is like a $24 billion a year company.
Yeah, she's one of my heroes,
if
definitely.
I know. Millions of women wealthy. And
no kidding.
What's wonderful about this industry is that you can, if you need to earn $500 a month, you can. If you need to earn $5,000 a month, you can. If you need to earn $50,000 a month, guess what? You can.
And what I love, in this particular company by design has created it so that women can get paid within 3 hours. So if you need money today,
you have to hook up with Catherine again to help her with her marketing. There you go. You
know? Right. Well, she might just end up being one of my Grammy makeup suppliers. Who knows?
See, there you go.
I'm telling you,
And and right away my head starts spinning like, oh, and we
isn't
can do
it,
gift bags and we can cross market.
Then I have to introduce you, Beth. You have to meet two of our other Jersey Cookie Girl and Catherine from Teascape. Actually, Catherine's at the pre-Emmy party right now with her teas. She makes all these gourmet teas in the gift bag. And Jersey Cookie Girl does home edible canvas cookies. She was an architect.
Oh, fantastic.
A one-of-a-kind cookie creator. This is why this business, this is why mompreneurs rock. Because we all the synergy that we can create, you know, and you know what, Catherine, let's face it, this is completely off topic as to why you called. So, hey, thanks for calling in. You actually want to say the best.
But that's what's so cool about it. I was just at a gathering of Simi Valley entrepreneur moms last night. And literally, I'm doing a fundraiser, which actually for Relay for Life, for a friend of mine who she does Relay for Life for like the 9th year, and fundraising. And so I'm having a party for her so that and completely all of my commissions, everything are going to her fundraising. Well, the person I'm doing it for, the person next to me says, oh, she has a children's play place, like a, you know, like an indoor play place. And I said, oh, well, you should talk to all, you know, the adult school moms. I'm like, I know them all. I'm doing a fundraiser for her. And here we are just at a table, and we've got this figured out, you know.
Right,
so,
right.
And so it all just sort of, like, clicks together. And I just love that. And it's like nobody is better at that than moms, of knowing who's where and what and what's going on. And if you don't know that person, you know probably three people that do, you know.
Right, exactly, Catherine. Yeah. That was what I was thinking when you and Dory were talking. I mean, the mom network is an age old, you know, timeless thing that, you know, people, again, breaking the myth, you know, think that, you know, we're not talking about business, that we're talking about our nails and recipes, but, you know, there's a mom of every type, you know, and I didn't always want to sit around and talk about, you know, gossip and this and that. You know, I was craving other moms, you know, like us to talk to. So take that chance and open that door, you know, within your network, and who knows, you know, you just end up finding each other. And as you're talking, I'm thinking, one of my artists that I'm working with now, Agrelia's Castle, you know, they're all about the tea. They write about tea in their blogs all the time.
Oh, well,
and they just love sitting in the creek drinking gourmet tea. So, you know, there's so many cross-sponsorships and collaborations to be had.
In the entertainment vein of it, one of our sponsors, Julia Brunetta Simpson from Brunetta Productions, she is an artist that she travels around in this area at this point, but will go anywhere. And she communicates through music, and she does a great Duke Ellington show and things like that. The history of you know, Black entertainment through music. And she did an afternoon tea, and she became our Music Monday sponsor. She's actually a lifelong friend. We've been friends for probably 20 years, go to the same church. And Kathleen, through, you know, one of our posts on Facebook as a sponsor to sponsor, oh, let me introduce you, Kathleen went and did this whole tea part of her event, because she does like etiquette and things like that. These are the things that excite me so much about this show. That's why it's called Word of Mom Radio, because you take word of mouth and you magnify it a gazillion times when you've got mom.
Right. It's fantastic. It's brilliant,
you know?
Dory.
It is. It is. And it's so exciting, because this is what it's all about. It really is. And you know what? I mean, let's face it, Beth, look at you and your company. You do all this work on top of the glamorous stuff that you do, you know? And so what are some of the things that you championed in your career, pro bono-wise?
Well, yes, pro bono-wise, in particular, there's a woman who is one of my heroes, and she is based in Maryland, and her name is Carlene Bryce. And I always feel like a snail next to Carlene. Carlene is a woman who was born and raised in Haiti, and she came over here, college, you know, career, children. And after, you know, she saw the devastation of the earthquake in Haiti in 2010, she thought, you know, I can't ignore what's happened there. And there's a long history behind, you know, what is going on in Haiti and why it's had such a hard time. But she decided to jump in and do something based on her experience living there and knowing what how the people think and what the villages are like, not just Port-au-Prince, and what they need. And so she started a, you know, program called Have Serve, which comes from the idea in Haiti that if you have, then you serve. You know, no matter how much you have, you know, we give to one another. Mm-hmm. So it's just HAVSERVE.org. And we came together over a music program, you know, getting some instruments for the kids to keep them positive and keep them out of trouble. And, you know, then it grew into, you know, we're going to create a soccer field now, and then we're going to fix some ovens, and we're going to start bringing in entrepreneurial programs for the women in the villages to also uplift and empower them. And she consistently adds programs every year and has created a huge volunteer-based network of people, teachers, business people, going there to volunteer throughout the year on these projects, but also working hand-in-hand with the people who live there with respect and building, rebuilding the country in a way that works for everyone for the long term. So that is the main primary nonprofit that I work with pro bono, just because I just see that there's so much to be done, and she's incredible, and she's a just a hero, I think, to so many people. I mean, there are hundreds of kids in these villages that have no parents, so it's quite a challenge, and I love supporting her in any way I can. And then there are other not nonprofits, but pro bono works that I do, like for an organization called Zone Music Reporter, who really is sort of the Billboard music charts for the genres that don't really get observed by Billboard. So like ambient and instrumental and contemporary and space and chill music and new age and jazz crossover. This company creates the charts to sort of, you know, cover the radio play of what's happening there, and really helps to uplift and promote the artists in a great way, and they do a great service to those genres. And so I enjoy helping to contribute to them with press releases and their annual event and what have you, and that really helps me to help the industry overall as well and give back a little bit. So I enjoy that a lot, and I really believe in the benefits that that kind of music can bring into people's lives, and that's really why I got into that specific kind of music with my company. We've talked about transformational. I know in one of your sponsors, you know, uses the word transformational,
mm-hmm.
and that's really what that music can be. It can be transformational. It can be relaxing. It can be meditative. It can be healing and uplifting. And that is one of the really interesting things that I always encourage women at home to experiment with. You know, play one kind of music in the house when your kids are home running around, and then change it to something that's more like this more sort of not necessarily easy listening. It can be that, but even more chill and kind of meditative, and you'll see that frenetic pace in the house just sort of sigh and come down about four notches. And that is a powerful tool, I'm telling you.
It truly is. You know, my kids were growing up, I was doing theater. I was director of theater in a college, and I worked around them. But I, you know, was also working in children's theater. So whatever I was working on is the music that was being played and shared. And, you know, my kids were singing Les Mis since they were, you know, 4 or 5 years old, you know, and
yeah.
They went from everything from that to if I was doing something classical. So it was really fun. And it's true that it definitely changes the whole tenor of what's going on, you know, in your house. So
yeah,
I have to ask,
absolutely.
Back into that whole business of juggling your family and your business and everything else, and the way your everything has shifted for you, you know, from when you began your career to now as a mom with an amazing business, do you have any great little nuggets of advice that you can share with our listeners? You know, juggling those dreams and everything, Beth, you know?
Yep. Find your mantra, you know. And one of mine has been all in right time, you know. There, you may not be able to do it all, you know. You may not get to take advantage of every opportunity that's out there. I hope. I mean, how blessed are we if we have too many things and we can't even get to them all? So be okay with that. And just have that mantra of, you know what, it'll all happen in right time. If I can't make it happen right now, if I leave the situation or the relationship in a positive way, hopefully it'll circle back again when it is the right time. You know, and just to give yourself time to breathe, just take those deep breaths throughout the day and tell yourself it's okay. It'll all happen in right time, and I'm doing my best, you know, and you have to be the one to pat yourself on the back for that, because, you know, looking for it from the outside is you know, going to be difficult, and people sometimes just don't have the time to stop and realize that you need that. We all need that, but be the first one to give yourself the pat on the back and say, you know what, I'm handling this. I'm doing okay. I may not be perfect, but I'm have the best intentions, and I'm putting out, you know, the most positive self and approach that I can. I think that's really important.
I would agree with you 1,000%. You know, I'm living that right now. I have a business that I created. It's called Safety Bags LLC, and we've rebranded, retooled from when we first began, because under the first name that we had, people didn't understand what it was. And then I earned my PhD in business from a clerical error that had nothing to do with our company. Basically closed my company, and I never gave up on it, because all in right time is true. And right now, can't get a loan from the bank, this and that, blah, blah, blah. Started doing my own crowdfunding of my own through people that I know, because can't get a loan from the bank, but can get a line of credit once we're in production.
Yep.
So it is all in right time. It all happens when it's supposed to, but if you really believe in what you're doing, guess what? The delay is okay. You know, it is what it is, and don't let it stop you. Not, you know, it's not no, it's now.
Right. Well, good point. You know, you have something you believe in. It feels good in your gut. You know, don't give up. But like you said, you know, it's a balance of nudging it, nurturing it, you know, when you can and when it needs to be pushed a little. Letting go of fear, like your wonderful sponsor said, fear and limitation.
Mm-hmm.
Realize when something's, you know, really a good idea and it's coming from your gut, and kind of really tuning in to say, am I not moving it forward right now because I'm afraid or because it's just not the right time? That takes some time to think about and figure that out. So it's a fine line, but I agree, you know, you have to be willing to not give up, hold on to it, push it a little, and work that balance of the two, I think.
It really is. But again, so often, and you know what, personally, I think that things like this sometimes happen to test your resolve, especially if you know you're doing something that's really going to make a difference. You know, I mean, I designed a line of clear bags and backpacks and sports and travel bags to keep guns and drugs out of schools. It's morphed into all of these others that it morphed into. But, you know, I took the down payment, I saved for a house. Don't ever do that, anybody. Buy the house. It's collateral. But what did I know? I was just a mom trying to keep kids safe. I didn't know any business. If I knew then what I know now, oh, my gosh. You know, but that's that's okay. I now, so, you know.
Well,
and
you're
I'm
sharing it
gonna,
now, and that's
exactly
that, that means
you know,
a
it's,
lot.
It's believing it. It's believing of yourself, and knowing again, all in right time. I'm definitely going to make you a graphic and send that to you, so you can
right.
share
oh,
it on your
you.
Site.
I well,
am,
you know, and
it, it makes me want to.
Yeah, you're so sweet to offer the blog, too. I do want to write a blog for you and
good.
Maybe send it over and share what I was saying about the music and how it can affect our lives. So I'll put a few suggestions
and you know what?
For music
take,
in there.
I'm going to take that. No, take the things that made a difference for you and your kids. And you
uh-huh.
actually said something else in our chat today that I wrote down, and I'll have it. I'll find it in here somewhere because I always take notes. Because I have ADD, and if I don't take notes, I drift. So
right. Well, one of the things, I think one of the other nuggets that I would add on, too, is, you know, again, part of that following your own journey, your own path, making room for that, wiggle room in there to try different things, is also when you do become a family and you have different things going on, you can get caught up, especially here in L.A. Talk about the differences. You know, L.A. is, yeah, as we know, a very materialistic place. And I feel like I chose to kind of decide to not get involved in that level of material rat race. Because when you're an entrepreneur, you need to have time to, you know, grow and fall back and grow again. And if you are caught up in the what do they have, what do I have rat race of comparison, of materialism to, you know, other friends, other families, other business people, you know, that can really take you off your plan to get to a place where your business is successful. So, you know, I always say living a life of comparison is living a life of pain. You know, because you really just need to be in your own path and in your own core of what's right for you at that time and just kind of push the rest of the stuff out of the way.
Wow. That's another one I just wrote down. I'm serious. That's really, you know, that's an amazing thing. Living a life of comparison is living a life of pain. And so often, well, for me, I'm a person. I don't care about anything material. You know, everything I own is in a 10-foot storage room, and I've been on the road for 3 years. Wherever I am is where I'm living. So I love that. I love
yeah.
that. It's a beautiful
well,
thing
thanks.
To share with people, and good for you to the mantras that you are passing on in such a materialistic industry, you know,
right.
and area. So, and how wonderful for your son. And, you know, I can't believe how fast an hour goes.
Oh, my
God. As we're wrapping this all up.
Wait,